Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam Hilchos Yom Tov, Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Dalid, Chapter 2, Law 14, in the Mishnayim text, around page 206 and 207. We're still talking about different laws of Muktzah. And we're talking about different trees and boards and woods and things like that. Yud Dalet. Noiklin Eitzim Hasmuchim L'dofne Hasukka U'masikim Bahem. You may take boards or pieces of wood that are leaning against the walls of a hut, and you could use it as to be the wood to go into a fire, to heat up a fire. Because that, since it's leaning up against the hut, the person will still have it in mind to use it as firewood. As opposed to, let's say, the walls themselves of a hut, you can say, oh, it's really cold here, I think I'll rip out a couple 2x4s from the panels of the wall. No, usually a guy doesn't have a mind to rip his wall out to make the house warm. So that wouldn't be good, but leaning up against is fine. However, what if there's different boards or wood outside in the fields? Aval ein mevin min hasada, you can't bring these branches or wood from the fields that have already been, let's say, cut off a tree from before Yontif. Afilu hayu mechudnasim sham meberev, even though they were gathered, they were put together in the field on Erev Yontif, still can't do it. And the question is, why can't you do it? So, since we're talking about muktzah, from the Rambam's wording, it would appear it's considered because it's muktzah. Because I guess things in the field, he wasn't really planning on using things from the field. Other commentaries say that's not the reason. The reason is when you're collecting up wood from the field, it's a sort of a mundane activity, which is not in the spirit of Yontif. So you're not allowed to do this. And others say it resembles a forbidden malacha of ma'amer, which you're not allowed to gather things together in the field, even though you're not gathering it so much because they're kind of put together anyway, but it looks like gathering, and therefore you can't do it. Aval, but the Rambam continues, Megabev hu basada milfanov, but he can collect the branches in the field that's right in front of him. That's right in front of him, that you can, umadlikim sham, and you can light a fire from that. Because since it's right in front of him, then we wouldn't suggest that it's a different type of malacha, and that's something he really was thinking about, that's right in front of him, he would plan on using that.
Sort of designated.
Yes. And another example. And any branches that were gathered together in a private domain. Before we're talking about, let's say, a carmelis or something, this is a private domain. Even though it was surrounded not for habitation. But you could use it, posachas, as long as it's enclosed on four sides and has a doorway, the tia besoch tchum Shabbos, and it's in the tchum Shabbos, then if you have all these conditions, then you can use it because that would be considered prepared. But in chaser echem mikalev, if you're missing any one of these conditions, even in a private domain, then it would harei he muktzah, that would be considered muktzah. Okay, next, tesva. Ale konim, leaves from reeds. Ba'ale kfanim, and leaves from vines. Now they're very flimsy. Even though they've been cut off and they've been gathered, a whole bunch of leaves are gathered up in a karpev. What is a karpev? A karpev is a wide area that is surrounded by a wall, but it's outside the city. But it's surrounded. It's like a reshus hayochid. It's like a house, but outside of the city, you know, outside of the normal living area. So on the one hand, you figure, well, you could use it. It's an enclosed area, and a guy would have in mind to use that. Mamam says, what does he say? Kaven sharuach mefazera. So since they're very lightweight and the wind can blow them around, hareihem kimefuzarim. They're considered as if they've been scattered about, and meaning to say, the guy will not rely on these things. In other words, if the guy sees on Erev Yom Tov there's a whole bunch of leaves sitting in this area, he's saying, I don't plan on using that tomorrow. Because the wind's going to blow them all over the place anyway. I don't plan on using it. and therefore vasurim, you can't use them. Even if the wind didn't blow them away, you weren't counting on using on them, so you weren't. That's not considered prepared. However, v'niyach aleihem clay kaved me'erev yontav. What do you put a leaf weight on it? Can't call it a paper weight because you're putting it on leaves. You put a leaf weight on it, right, to make sure the wind doesn't blow on it. So that's an action you're demonstrating to show that you still really want to use it. Harei lemuchanim, it's considered like it's prepared, and it is not muktzah. Next, tezayin, interesting case. Behema shemesa beyontif. An animal dies on yontif. Dies a regular death. So now, can you eat it now? No, it's an avela.
You gotta kill it.
So now, is there any? So now, what would you normally do? What would you normally do if your cow died on you like that? What would you normally do? What could you do? You're on a farm. Okay. So what if you don't have a goy to sell to? What would be the next thing you would do?
Bury it.
Hide.
You wouldn't bury it.
No, cut it off and give it to other animals.
Use the hide.
You give it to your dog.
Give it to the dog.
At least.
Can you use the hide?
Yeah, but first you're gonna feed it to you. Okay, yeah. You might use the hides, but one thing, what about the meat? The flesh?
There's a lot of meat.
You give it to the dog. Dies on Yontif, what can you do on Yontif with it? Can you clean the hides on Yontif?
No.
Can you sell to Goy on Yontif? No. So what options do you have? And remember, this cow can't last too many days before it spoils.
They didn't have great
so the animal dies, so what is your only option on Yontif to do with it?
Give it to the dogs.
The question is, could you give it to the dogs? So he says like this, if the cow was deathly ill on Erev Yontif, so he figures it's probably going to die on Yontif, so before Yontif he already knew that he had some very special dog food in preparation. So therefore when it dies on Yontif, you can cut it up and give it to the dogs, because on Erev Yontif you knew it was going to be gravy train. Ve'im lav, and if it wasn't dying before Yontif, it was a sudden heart attack, then a horrible haisa datala, since he never planned on using it as dog food, hareza muktza. It's muktza because he never planned on using this animal for anything on Yontif. Ve'lo yizizetamim, call me, cannot move it from its place. Okay, next case. Behemes kodoshim. What about an animal that was sanctified? Right? Now, and let's even throw in that it was even dying on Erev Yontif. Okay, let's even throw that in. And now Shemesa, and it dies on Yontif. Or another example, Utruma, or Truma, they can only be eaten by a Kohen, Shenit Me'es, that's become impure. What do you do with it on Yontif? Lo Yizizenu Mimkoma, you cannot move it from its place. Why? Because, well, why couldn't we, let's go to the first case. The animal aside, why can't you give it to a dog? The answer is, because we don't give something that was kachim to a dog. It's insulting to the kachim. And if it becomes tame, let's say it died, there's only one thing you do. Burn it. And that's it. So there really is no use for it. Truma, the same thing. There's no use for it. So you planned on the kohen eating it, but it became tame. He can't eat it, you gotta burn it. The animal I was planning on bringing as a korban, animal went and died. I have no use for it now. So then you can't move it at all. Yudzai, dogim ve'oifois v'chayo shehem muktze. Now remember, we learned way back 2 days ago in Halacha Zion, birds, different types of birds, the fish, birds, and wild animals that are muktze. And how do we define them as muktze? We said if they're in big ponds or in large pens, so big that you'd have to bring traps to catch them. We said that those kinds you're not planning on using on Yontif. So we're talking about these kinds of animals now. So if you have this kind of an animal, but what about feeding it on Yontif? So he says, "Ein mashkin oisei b'yontif, you can't give it to drink on Yontif. Ve'nosim flame mezonos, so you can't put any food in front of them on Yontif." Even though, let's say, you own them and you're responsible to feed them because they cannot feed themselves, you still cannot feed them on Yontif. Why? Shema yavo likach mehem. Because maybe you'll take them and use them for your own needs. You're already being engaged with these animals. These are chayas. Then, you know, you might decide to shecht it. And you can't, because those are animals that were muktza. So in other words, technically you could feed them. You're not transgressing anything biblically, by feeding them, but it's a gezerah, it's a decree. If you're going to feed them, you might use them, and you can't, they're muktzah. Now, on the other, the ones that are, no, not necessarily, because dogim and ofos, whatever, but there were muktzah, it was in a pen that you would need to trap them, and you weren't planning on using them on yontif. On the other hand, if you were planning on using them on yontif, then what's the problem? You could even shecht it. You could feed such an animal, because, so these are the animals that are easy to trap, you could feed them, because even if you shecht them, you could shecht them. Now how about, let's say I own an animal that's treif, non-kosher animals, could you feed the non-trappable, not kosher animals on your farm? The answer is yes, because what's the worst that will happen? You ain't ever going to shecht the treif animal to eat it. So then you could feed it. So it comes out on yontif, you can feed all animals that are within your grasp of catching, because even if you shecht them, it's okay. Animals that are not kosher, even if you couldn't trap them, you could feed them. But the animals that are kosher, that are not graspable, you can't feed them. Now, what are you asking? What do you do? What you do is you leave a lot of food before yontif. You know, if you have a wild donkey that's very hard to catch, whatever, just leave him a lot of hay in the pen before yontif, and he eats that hay, but you can't feed him any hay on yontif. That would be an example of that. Okay, now the chol she'asur la'ochel u'shtamish rabbi yontif, anything you can't eat or make use of on yontif, and they should be also smutzah, also tell you can't carry it as well, which is obvious. Okay, yud ches.
So if you had a giant aquarium, you shouldn't feed your fish on yontif. A really big one, I don't know.
If the fish are kosher fish.
Well, if they're not kosher,
I don't know. Do you ever have a kosher fish in an aquarium?
Never.
I've never seen a kosher. In an aquarium?
The little ones, the little orange ones. They look like, you know, little.
But they don't goldfish
have
fins.
Fish. All fish. Yeah, they have fish.
Goldfish have fins.
Are goldfish kosher?
Why not?
They eat it. It's got nothing to eat. There's no flesh.
It doesn't mean you want to eat it, but
the fish you could swallow.
Goldfish.
So it's interesting. So according to the Rambam, maybe you'd have to put the feet in before yonder.
What about a fish?
But they don't eat
where they have a big pond. It's
more. Well, they just eat whatever's in and die.
But a fish farm,
giant aquarium, die.
But they have to die.
I thought goldfish just eat whatever you give them, and they don't eat and die because they eat too much.
But they're also
right. I don't know about that.
What is it? What is the definition of right?
I don't know. I don't have fish.
If you catch it easily.
Oh, cattle.
In other words, you're planning on eating it.
No.
Cattle out on the range.
I don't think you're planning on eating any fish in the aquarium, are you? That's just anything that you're not allowed to eat or make use of on yontif because it's smoked, so you can't carry it. No, okay. I mean, I could hear a difference. You want to know why? Because nowadays nobody takes a fish out of a fish tank.
Nobody.
You ever see anybody put their hand in a fish tank and eat the fish?
No. Maybe the college guys that are drunk, but I don't know
if we'd apply the Xera nowadays. That's what I'm saying. On the other hand, if you got Milton's fish farm, then maybe it's a problem. If it's kosher fish.
Yeah.
Then maybe it's a problem.
You do, you bought fish and put it in the barrel.
So then, you know, then you'd have to come with, you know, like when we were in Israel, Ira took us to this Mahadrin milk farm, where it's mamish kosher la Mahadrin.
Really?
And you're answering. Like, see this, you know, you figure, well, listen, all the milk farms are Chol Yisrael anyway, right? What do you have to do? Because it's all Jews, there's no Arabs at all.
Right.
But there's a big problem. What's the problem?
The milking on Shabbos.
Can't milk a cow on Shabbos. Simply. Aye, but you gotta milk a cow on Shabbos because they're gonna be in a great well being.
Sorry about
that. Yeah, but other than
that, don't use the milk, you spoil.
So you're gonna spoil a whole day's worth of milk? Do you understand how much milk that is? What kind of a loss that is? So they've got incredible machines that is halakhically, technically worked out that the animal just goes over and the machine does not automatically go down. It's like a double grumma system so that the milk, is very indirectly done and then you can keep the milk. The problem is, so an air show is not usually a problem, except when you have yontif comes before Shabbos, and that's the only time they have a 2-day yontif because their containers only hold 1 day's worth of milk. So they can keep every yontif's 1 day.
Except
Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. But let's say you have a yontif that happens to be a yontif before Shabbos, then they have to lose 1 full day's of milk.
So with Rosh Hashanah, they lose 2.
So I guess they would lose maybe some leniency, secondly Rosh Hashanah, whatever. I don't remember. But anyway, I'm just saying the example. So you even have to have a Mahadran milk farm. So I'm saying you could have probably a Mahadran aquarium. Probably, you know, make the thing that the food could probably can have, I'm sure, what do you call it?
An automated thing.
It automatically distributes the food every day at 2 o'clock.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. And you set it before.
On
and that's
a timer.
On a timer. Yeah. And that's how you get out of it. That would be the way to get out of it. Anyway, that's an interesting situation. Anyway, the next halakha, the Rambam, it's interesting. Really, I'm sure the Rambam knew what he was doing, but he's making some assumptions that are really clearly spelled out in the next parak, halacha aleph beis and gimel. So we're like kind of jumping ahead by doing this halacha. So we're not going to totally appreciate it until we do the next three halachas after this. But the general idea is like this. You know that when you slaughter a bird or a chaya, an undomesticated animal, the blood that comes out has to be covered. It's a mitzvah of kisui hadam. You make a bracha on that, even.
You go on Rosh Hashanah with the chickens, if you go...
Right, when you take the chicken and you shecht it and the blood goes out, you have to cover it with the blood.
Yeah.
Okay, if it's a regular domesticated animal, like a cow, then you don't have to cover the blood. That's the rule. So the question is, well, we've discussed already, are you allowed to shecht an animal on Yom Tov? Yes. So now what about covering the blood?
Now you got a problem.
Now that we'll have to discuss. There is an issue. Can you cover the blood? Can you not cover the blood? That's an issue. But anyway, so now, assuming you know all this information, the Rambam just thrusts you into this halacha. So, okay? So now you can understand why people, now let's put it this way. Well, so let's add on Wednesday, you shecht a cow. And not a cow. You shecht a bird. So now there's blood. What are you gonna do? I better cover it. But I don't have any sand. So what do? You go to the backyard, you dig up a little dirt,
and you put it,
on. Now, can you do that on Yom Tov?
Absolutely not.
Can you dig a hole on Yom Tov? You can't dig a hole on Yom Tov.
Can't
dig a hole on Shabbos. That's bona. That's building. That's all kinds of prohibitions of working the earth, plowing. There's all kinds of prohibitions. So obviously, if you're going to want to shecht an animal on Yom Tov that needs kisui hadam, you better have some sand or ashes prepared well in advance. So that's what we're going to discuss now. Well, you know, what shows that you prepared it, and then what happens if you didn't prepare it, or you prepared it in an odd way, what can you do? Those are already all the multiple issues that come up on Yom Tov in terms of Kisui Adam. So now, with that little introduction, this halal will be a little easier. Yud Ches. Hamachnis offer Erev Yom Tov. A guy brings into his domain dirt on Erev Yom Tov. And, Im Yichid Lo B'chatzero Keren Zavis, if he designated his field this corner and says, I'm putting it in this corner and I need this, Hareza Muchan, then that's called prepared and you could use it on Yom Tov. Umutu L'talto L'asos Bol Kol Tzrach, do whatever you want, whatever need you have with dirt, you could use it. V'chein Eifer Shehusak Me'er Yom Tov, similarly ashes that was burnt on Erev Yom Tov, you have ashes and you've designated the ashes, Muchan, that is prepared. Now, what about Vishuhusak Biyantav? What if something you took some wood and you put it in a fire and you cook and you burnt it on Yantav? Can you make use of any of that stuff that you burnt on Yantav now? So Kolzman Shuham, as long as it's still hot enough what? Kide Litzlos Lo Beitza to roast an egg, which is the smallest time amount of cooking process necessary. Then mutar l'tachlo, you can carry that hot ash, whatever, shadainish, because it's still a product of fire. Then that's okay. It's the fire. You can use that fire because it's for cooking purposes. V'imlav, but if it's not hot enough, in other words, you've made it ash on yontif, then also you can't carry it because it's a new thing that came into creation. In other words, when you're making it's a fire you're allowed to make on Yom Tov, and you're allowed to benefit from the heat of a fire. As long as it's giving off heat, you can benefit it as it's part of fire, which you're allowed always on Yom Tov. But when the fire's not cooking anymore, so now all you got left is ash, but you didn't have ash before Yom Tov, that's no lad, you've created a new entity, which is not usable on Yom Tov. Now.
It cools down very quickly though, so I mean
Once it's ash, that was made on Yom Tov, you can't use the ash on Yom Tov.
So if you start carrying it while it's still hot, and it cools down while you're carrying it,
then you have a problem. No, but it's pre-existing fire, and you threw a few logs in and you made more ash. Now we come to our Kisui Adam. So let's say like this. Mi shahayelo deker no utz me'erev yantiv. Let's say a guy has an iron, what do you call it?
A shaft.
Stuck into the ground on Erev Yontif, and you knew it was there on Erev Yontif. And what did you do on Yontif now? Unasako b'Yontif. You pulled it out on Yontif. Now, you shouldn't have done that, but you did it. Vehela offer, and now it brings up dirt. Aha. So now, can you use that dirt? Now, really, l'chachil, you're not supposed to do this. Certainly not supposed to do this. Even after you shechted the animal, you shouldn't do that. Because there's been major problems. You didn't designate the dirt. All kinds of problems over here. But you already did it. And then you pulled it up, and now there's dirt out of the ground. So it depends. Imha ya'osa ofer tichu achiv was very soft dirt the whole time, like, you know, on the beach kind of dirt. And it really was just very loose the whole time. Then, now that you've taken it from the ground, hareze mechase. You can use it for kisui hadam. So since it's powdery, you know, taking it out isn't considered digging a hole. Because it was already loose the whole time. But on the other hand, the next case, two more words. Hareze mechase bo umetatli. You can cover blood and you can carry it. But, avalim hella gushover, what if a big clod comes out of the earth? So now you got a double problem. Number one, you made a real hole.
Yeah.
A. B, but you can't use it. You can't use a clod of dirt for kisa. Then what do you got to do?
You
got to crumble it. You cannot crumble it on Yontif. That's an isur of Yontif, so you can't do that.
So is that the problem, or is it that it's you're actually digging it out?
Well, it's a double problem.
Right.
Number one, you've negatively transgressed, and we'd have to probably wait till after Yontif the time it would take to do it to do
benefit
that.
From it.
And B, you'd have to crumble it, which you can't crumble it anyway.
Right.
So it's got two problems on that end.
We don't go that, like we say we could, to allow us to cook, we say we can, anything that's for preparation, we can carry, and we can do different things, but this,
Kisui Adam?
Yeah.
Well, now we have to wait to the next parak. We're going to start now. It's going to get more into these halachas now. You're right. You have to do Kisui Adam. But why didn't you prepare beforehand? That's another rule of Yontif. Wherever you could do something beforehand, why haven't you done it beforehand? Certain things, shechting, we know. Why didn't you shecht beforehand? Because it tastes better if I shecht on Yontif. But what does it matter if you dug up the dirt on Erev Yontif? It's still going to be very good dirt to cover up beforehand. So that's an issue. And we're going to talk about now in the next halacha. So I'd like to quickly do the first three halachas next parak, because that's the same subject matter that goes with this. Parak Gimel Halacha Aleph. Mi sha'ayelo afar muchan. First, that prepared dirt. O efa, or prepared ashes. Muchan. Shemutu latal, you're allowed to carry them. So then you're allowed to... Then you are allowed initially to go and shecht a wild animal that's kosher and a bird, and you can cover the blood because you had the earth already prepared. But the main law for muchanoi for a royal talco. But if you don't have any prepared dirt or prepared ashes, hareis elishchot, you cannot shecht.
Wow.
You understand? That's the point.
It didn't happen.
Right? Because. That's something you should have done beforehand. You should have prepared the dirt beforehand. So now, what if the guy is a stubborn guy? He says, I don't care, I'm going to shecht anyway. And you are allowed, I am allowed to shecht. But there's a problem, you have to kisi adam. But guess what? Don't cover the blood until nightfall. Now, normally we wouldn't suggest doing that, because who knows what's going to happen to the blood, and you know, maybe an animal will get in there and mess it up, it can get lost, whatever. You should do a mitzvah right away. But you can't cover it up. You have no dirt to cover it up with. So you have to wait till after Yontif, and you will still get the mitzvah of covering the blood after Yontif.
If it's still there.
Well, still, you just cover it up. Now, that's case number one. Case number two, now is very... Now, of course, if it's a cow, you can always shuck the cow, because you don't have to cover the blood. But now, what if you got an in-betweener? The imbria shu sapik. There are certain types of animals that we're not sure what it is.
I think it's pronounced a kvi.
So it's a certain one. We're not sure what it is. Is it domesticated or is it not? Is it a chaya or is it a regular behemoth?
Right.
And the commentary says it's a crossbreed between a goat and a deer.
Yeah.
Others say, no, it's a totally independent species. They didn't know what it was. Okay, but anyway, and one deer is not domesticated, and goat is domesticated. So you're not sure. So what would you normally do? What would you normally do on a weekday if you shech such an animal?
You cover it.
You covered it without a bracha.
Yeah.
Mitam suffik, because of a doubt. Now wait a minute. Could you do that on Yom Tov?
No.
Well, there's a doubt.
Well, that's a problem now. So now, v'chem bria shu safek, what of an animal that we're not sure, im chayehi, im behema, if it's a chaya or if it's a behema. Now, we do know normally you would cover it because of a doubt on a Wednesday, on a regular Wednesday. But in our case, on yontif, ein shreichet in asob yontif, we don't allow you to shech such an animal on yontif. Why? Well, we'll see. V'im shachat, and if you do shecht, then we say, well, yechasat amalav, you can't cover the blood until the night time. I feel hayla for mukhano afer. Even you had prepared dirt or prepared ashes. Why? Here's the problem. Because what will an onlooker think? A guy is looking from a distance saying, hey, it's yontif. Hey, they're covering the blood of this funny looking animal. So what are people going to assume?
You have a permitted animal.
Right? They're going to figure, no, not a permitted animal, they're going to figure it's a wild animal that needs to be covered.
Right.
You're going to understand what's the problem with that? You'll see in a minute. In other words, if you're in doubt, normally if you're in doubt, we would say you can't cover it. Because if you don't need to cover it, you're doing something you're not necessary for yontif. Since we're in doubt, leave it out. If the guy does cover it, that's a major problem. Because an onlooker will say, the guy covered it. Must be chaya vadoisi. Must be this type of animal is for sure a chaya. It's for sure a non-domesticated animal. Otherwise, how could the guy have covered it? So he says, what's wrong if that happens? The answer is, and the guy says, Ulafigal, therefore, Kisa Domiyov, that's why he covered the blood of Yontif. Now, here's another law you have to know. There are certain chelevs, certain fats, in certain areas of the animal, that in a domesticated animal, you may not, you cannot. But in undomesticated animals, you may. Same place.
Yeah.
You hear the problem? See, we got this cross between the goat and the deer,
and we see the
guy covered it. What do onlookers figure? I guess the cross between the goat and the deer is undomesticated, and you can eat the fat.
Now
a guy coming to eat chayla, and that'll be a terrible thing. And he's only thinking about it because why else would the guy cover it on the other unless he was certain that it was a wild animal? So therefore, you can't cover it. So what do you see so far? You have to have normally the sand prepared in advance in a normal case. In a doubtful case, you can never cover it at all.
On yontif.
And you see, it's interesting. We're telling you, don't shech. In other words, the lechatchila position is, don't shech with thinking I'll cover it after yontif. Because you might come to a situation you may not be able to cover it. But if you already transgressed, you still can't do anything until yontif is over. Okay, so at least after yontif, try to cover it up if you can. Base.
I'm a little confused here. I thought he's allowed to shech a domesticated animal.
Because it doesn't need to have its blood covered.
No, only
it doesn't have to have its blood covered.
I thought he's only allowed to, he has to do it because he has to have the sand prepared.
No, that's only a
non-domesticated.
A cow and a sheep doesn't have to have its blood ever covered.
Ever.
So you can shecht it under any circumstance. You don't need any sand ready because you don't have to cover. We're talking about a deer, a non-domesticated, which
chicken,
must be
birds,
covered. Or bird, which would be a classic case, you can't shecht unless you have the sand. And if you did, you could eat it, but you can't cover the blood. You have to wait till after yontif. Base.
But no, if it was prepared, you could cover it.
If it was prepared, you could, but if you didn't. Base. Let's say you shechted a non-domesticated animal or bird on Erev Yontif, but you didn't get around to covering the blood, and now you want to cover the blood on Yontif. Well, yechasa dama b'yontif, you can't cover the blood on Yontif. Why? Because you should have done it on Erev Yontif.
Even if you had prepared.
But if you shechted it on Erev Yontif, you should have covered the blood on Erev Yontif.
Right?
In other words, you can only do things that relate to the simcha of Yontif.
Right, okay.
So if you should have covered it on Erev Yontif. You didn't. So then, too bad. Covering it is not going to make you happy on Yontif. So you can't do it. Shechet behema.
Would you still cover it after Yontif?
After Yontif, you cover it if there's anything to cover. Shechet, what if you shechted a couple animals? Shechet behem, you shechted an animal domesticated that does not require covering. But you also shechted a chayin and oaf, a a non-domesticated and a bird. So they got a lot of blood all over the place here.
They got mixed.
The Yom Tov, the blood gets covered.
Mixed.
So let's say,
not
the blood is mixed, rather.
Right.
So let's say you shecht one animal, let's say you have, I don't know, one quart of blood, one pint of blood, right? So now, let's say you have 3 pints of blood. One blood of a bird, one blood of an undomesticated, and one pint of a domesticated. So now really, it's going to all mix. Now how much sand are you going to have to use? You're going to need enough sand to cover 3 pints. But really, 1 pint shouldn't be covered, because it's not an animal that needs to be covered. But now they got mixed up. So now you got a problem, because if you're going to start covering, you're going to cover more than you need to cover, which you're not allowed to do. Even if you have prepared sand, you only can cover what you have to cover, but not what you can't. But if it's mixed up, I have to cover it all. But if I'm covering it all, I'm covering more than I need.
The blood's really mixed up. Don't you have to cover it all?
Well, it should, but yeah, and on a weekday you would, but in Yontif you're doing more than is necessary. So the Mama says, well, you can't cover until after Yontif, because you're doing more work than is necessary that doesn't pertain to the animal's blood that has to be covered. But if you had prepared sand and ash, and one more point, and you can cover all 3 points with one shovelful, you're not doing any extra work, then you can cover it. In other words, I'm going to take a shovel. If I want to cover 2 points, I need a shovel. I need three, I need a shovel. You know, and I'm going to take a big shovel, takes a lot, and I would do a big shovel anyway. I don't measure. Well, I'm going to only 2 pints worth on the shovel. Just give one dig into the soil, to the loose ground, and put it on. Then you're allowed, because you're not doing any extra work for that. One more halacha regarding kisui adam gimel hashreiket behem of a yontif. A person shechts an animal on yontif. I'm sorry, it's a new point over here. You got a problem when you're shechting an animal on yontif. If let's say a sheep, it's got some wool by the neck, and when you shecht the animal, you've got to be able to the knife has to go right on the neck and can't be covered by wool. It's a problem with shechita. So you got some wool over there, and you got to rip some wool out. But ripping is a malacha. But you want to shecht. But if I shecht, I got to rip out some wool. So what do? So mutalo liklo tsemer lemokomasak, and you can pull out a little bit of the wool where the knife would have to be, biyado, but with your hand, but not with a utensil. So you're doing with a shinui in a different way. So then, since it's not the normal way, we allowed it, because otherwise you won't have a nice food for yantif. So for simchas yantif, we're lenient if you do it in a not normal way. However, ubavatz was instead of bimkom, but you can't rip it out of its place and totally remove it. El Yeshar Shem Subach Hashar Semer Hatzavar. Leave it mixed up with the rest of the wool. In other words, you move it over, but don't take it off. So it'll be with the rest of the wool. It'll be mixed up with the rest of the wool, and you do it with your hand, so then it's okay. However, but what about a bird? A bird's different. There's no wool. What do you got by a bird?
Feathers.
Feathers. Well, guess what? There's only one way to pluck feathers with your hand.
That's it. Okay.
There's no shinui possibility. So what are you going to do? You got to move the feathers. Yeah. But with a bird, you can't pull out the feathers. Mitneshu darko, that's the wave. And nimtsa tolish biyantif comes out. You're plucking, you're pulling out things on yantif. And we don't. So therefore, what? So how could I ever have a chicken?
Pre-plucked.
You have to pluck the feathers around the neck before yantif. And that's what you'd have to do.
There'll be a lot of
okay, and that's how the Rambam concludes. Shreyach, guys.
I just love
good chunk today. Baruch Hashem, good learning today.